Are you ready to watch and see what God's about to do?
Yes.
Hallelujah!
We're ready.
Praise the Lord. Time for excitement. Hallelujah.
Yes.
God is an awesome God, a mighty God. Hallelujah. Not time to sit back, you know, and just, you know, whatever. It's time to get out there, get excited about God.
Yes.
Just watch Him move. Hallelujah. He's just waiting for somebody to that's, you know, willing to step out on the water. You know, how much faith do you have? Are you willing to step out on that water, whatever the water is to you?
That's
right. Praise the Lord. Well, so what's going to take place today?
Harvest Fest.
A time of celebrating the
harvest.
Have we had a harvest this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yes.
Well, we need to celebrate.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you know, there's a lot. We can do the gloom and doom thing. Okay? Well, isn't that a lot of work? Yeah. And everybody says, yeah, that's a lot of work. Well, doesn't it cost a lot of money?
Yeah.
Costs a lot of money. Hallelujah. That could be the gloom and doom thing, right?
Yeah.
So, why do it? If it takes a lot of work, if it costs a lot of money, why do it? Why would we do such a thing as that? Well,
you're crazy.
What if I told you God said so?
Correct.
That's why
I'm looking
at you. Sure. Hey, look at that. Look at that. Confirmation. And everybody's going to say, show me in the Word where it says that.
Show me in the Word.
I'm glad you asked. Turn with me in your Bible. Two places. You can look them up and put your finger or bookmark in them, whatever. Exodus 23 and Leviticus 23. And I'll do the same. Okay, everybody got them marked?
Not yet.
Everybody? No, not there yet? Okay. Holler when you're ready.
Just stand up when you're
ready. Okay. You stand up when you're ready, and we will read. Okay, we're going to start in Exodus 23. 14, chapter 23, verse 14. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of the unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt. Anybody come out from Egypt?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, come on, the first fruits of thy labor which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Okay, now turn with me to Leviticus 23, verse 39. Also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. For, and ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days.
Hallelujah.
And you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days. in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. He says, you need to celebrate the harvest. Come on. For all generations, not just for them, but for all the generations. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word, Lord God. God, you never leave us empty, Father. God, you're always there, Father. God, when we look into your word, when we dig into your word, Lord God, to see what you said, Father. And God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, God, for these feasts, God, these times, these seasons, Lord God, that you've ordained, Father. And so, God, we thank you for this harvest, this time of harvest, this time of ingathering, Father. And God, we just give you all the glory. Father, we thank you for everything that was harvested this year, Father. God, souls, Lord God.
Yes.
God, the healings, Lord God, the miracles, Lord God. God, thank you for the harvest, Father. And God, we thank you, Father, for your word, Lord God. We thank you for this day, Lord God. God, as we look into this thing of the feast of the harvest, Father. God, open our hearts, open our minds, Lord God. God, we want to walk with you this day, God. God, take us into your very presence. God, just take us by the hand, God. And lead us, Father. God, may we just see you in a brand new realm, Father. God, we so desire you, Father. Be glorified in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Be seated.
Hallelujah.
So we see all these things in the Bible about the different feasts. And God says, here's what I want you to do. And so we're going to look at this Feast of the Harvest today. You know, every biblical holiday given to the Jewish people has three aspects. Israel was to observe the holiday in the present in order to remember something God had done in the past while looking forward to some future prophetic purpose hidden within each festival. God gave the biblical festivals to teach the Jewish people about his character and to help us understand his plan of salvation. See, it's all in there. He gave that to the Jewish people, but all Christians, come on, who have been grafted into the olive tree, Romans 11, 17, share all the rich heritage and the roots of the Jewish people. So we are now approaching the last of the high holy days on the Jewish calendar. We're in a season. If you were to talk to these born-again Jewish rabbis, people that just know this stuff, know all about the feasts and stuff, they would tell you on these times that God appointed, there's like a window in heaven that's open. There's an opportunity like never before during these seasons. So we are in a season right now. During the Feast of Tabernacles, or I'm not sure if I got the pronunciation right, it's S-U-K-K-O-T, I'm going to call it Sukkot. The Jewish people were to gather in Jerusalem. They're to gather together in Jerusalem, not only to remember God's provision in the wilderness, but also to look forward looking back, looking forward to the promised messianic age when all nations will flow to this city to worship the Lord. Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles is unique in that the Gentile nations were invited to come up to Jerusalem along with the Jewish people to worship the Lord at this appointed time. The Lord told Moses to father all men, women, and children along with the foreigners in the land so that they can learn to fear the Lord. Deuteronomy 31, 12. So in 2 Chronicles 6, 32 and 33, Solomon dedicates the temple at Sukkot, same time of year. He asked the Lord, you'll remember this when I tell you, he asked the Lord to hear the prayers of any foreigners that would come there to pray. Remember reading that? Zechariah foretold of a time when all nations would ascend to Jerusalem each year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. That's Zechariah 14:16. For the past 35 years, Christians from all over the world have come to Jerusalem each fall to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. It's sponsored by International Christian Embassy Jerusalem, and they come to take part in a dynamic worship experience and to taste the joy of the Lord in the age to come. It's a taste of what's coming. They know how to celebrate. We have to learn to celebrate. Glory to God. Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, was associated with the 40 years in the desert. Later, after Israel entered the land of promise, Sukkot was associated with the fall harvest, festival of ingathering of the harvest at the end of the year. This was the end of their Jewish calendar year. And so as you read through the scripture, they call this harvest a little bit different. It takes on different names. But you'll see it when you're reading that, when you're studying it. Deuteronomy 16:14. And thou shalt rejoice in the feast. Come on! Thou, thy son, and thy daughter, and thy manservant, and thy maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shall thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God into the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thy hand. Therefore, thou shalt surely rejoice.
Amen.
We don't know how to rejoice. We haven't learned how to rejoice. We just go through the motions. Holy, we need to rejoice. Glory to God. So because we're commanded, if you love me, keep my commandments. So, because we're commanded to rejoice during the holiday of Sukkot for the blessings of God's provision and care for our lives, it's considered especially important to give the Hebrew word is T-Z-E-D-A-K-A-H. Tzedakah. Or charity during this time of the year. So, River of God Church has been so blessed during the year, glory to God, that we want to bless others. We just want to give. God has given us abundantly more than we can ask or think. Come on. And so we just want to pour out that blessing on other people. And we just want to bless them. When you bless somebody, you expect nothing in return. That's it. You just want to, just like when God gives to us. He gives and he gives and he gives. You know? And so we just want to bless others. So today is the time when we just want to give. We want to bless people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God has given us so much that we just want to give out. We're going to give out material things. Amen. We're going to give out spiritual things. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to give out encouraging words. We're going to teach people how to rejoice. Come on. Somebody say, I'm going to teach somebody how to rejoice. Hallelujah. Okay, Sukkot immediately follows the days of awe and repentance. How many have studied the Jewish calendar? How many have studied these feasts? Oh, man. Need to study the feasts. These are God ordained. And he says they're to be for all generations. You know, so there's something in there. September 20th. How many know what started September 20th? That's it. And how long does it last?
Yom Kippur.
No, not yet. Not yet. Rosh Hashanah was September 20th to 27th, 7 days, right? What was Rosh Hashanah? That's a time of repentance. And that's a time of just standing in awe of God. Now think about it. How many have ever experienced God? How many have ever just stood in awe of the way he does things?
Yeah.
It's amazing. We sang the song, amazing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And all we can do is just, wow. And you can say it backwards too. Wow. So, for 7 days, from this year, September 20th, to the 27th, was the time of Rosh Hashanah. The day after Rosh Hashanah was
Yom Kippur.
And what is Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur was the Day of Atonement. Mm-hmm. Who's our atonement? Jesus is our atonement. It was all pointing up to Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. So here's the celebration. Now, is anybody interested in celebrating the day you got saved?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Yes, we need to, you know, get excited about these things. Glory to God. Yeah. So, Day of Atonement. Think about it. The Day of Atonement. That's awesome. That is awesome. Remember, the Day of Atonement, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. You know? And he better be right or else. Hallelujah. That was awesome response. You talk about quaking and shaking? Can you imagine that high priest that took, he represented that whole nation before God. Just like Jesus. Jesus done the same thing. He represented the whole nation, creation, everybody. Yom Kippur. That was actually the 29th Yom Kippur. Okay, so beginning in just a few days is Sukkoth. Sukkoth is season of our joy. So, in between Yom Kippur and Sukkoth, which is just a few days, the people are busy. They are decorating. They are getting ready for the next festival. I think it's awesome. You know, I always said if I was going back in the military, I'd be Jewish. Absolutely. All them festivals, all them holidays, they still do that same. They still honor them. Boy, when I was in there, you know, them guys, when their seasons come, see you guys, I'm out of here. And they was gone for a week or whatever. Glory to God. So, the season of our joy represents the time of restored fellowship with the Lord. You talk about joy, that should be joy. Yeah. To have that restored fellowship with the Lord. Hallelujah. From a spiritual perspective, Sukkoth corresponds to the joy of knowing your sins were forgiven during Yom Kippur. And also recalls God's miraculous provision and care after the deliverance from bondage in Egypt. How many was in bondage in Egypt? Absolutely. How many realized you were in bondage in Egypt?
Not until you get set free.
Yeah, right. The more you're set free, the more you realize how much bondage you were in. Glory to God. So it's a time of celebrating this stuff. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Deuteronomy 6:12 says, "Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Verse 14, "Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." See, if we're not careful and we forget, our heart can be lifted up. You know, we take things for granted of what God's done. If we're not careful, it won't be what God has done. It might be what we've done. Hallelujah. So we always want to keep that humble heart. Amen? Hallelujah. And remember that God brought us out of the house of bondage. And I know he's still working. He's still working on me. How about you guys? Yeah. Hallelujah. How many want to be totally free of bondage?
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, everything that was lost back in the garden, Jesus was our atonement for that stuff. Mm-hmm. Everything has been bought back.
Yes.
It's ours. So think about what was in the garden. Spiritually, physically, what was in there? Was there any sickness?
No.
Was there any worry? Was there any fear? Was there any anxiety? Was there any stress? Any disease? Condemnation?
Was it?
Well, if it wasn't there, it shouldn't be here. Right? If we're in Christ, Christ is in us, glory to God, that's ours. It's already been paid for. Hallelujah. Cancer shouldn't have much of a hold, should it?
No.
Glory to God. The Gospels record that the Lord Jesus not only celebrated the festivals, but he took traditional elements of the celebration and applied them to his own life and mission. And we find this particularly in the book of John, chapter 7 and 8. Jesus uses two traditional symbols from the Feast of Tabernacles. From the Feast of Tabernacles celebration, he used two symbols, light and water. Now understand that Moses said in this celebration, this feast, this festival, there's going to be two important days. There's going to be two more important. They're all important. But 2 days are important. Really, really important. So, Jesus, when he used the symbol of light and water, he wanted the people to understand who he is and what he offers. The first symbol taken from the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus used to point to himself as the fulfillment of Scripture. Now, back in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. So God promised, in verse 1, he promised about it would come out of Galilee. And Yeshua reminded all of his critics, he reminded them that of that scripture, that prophetic and powerful prophetic claim by using an image that was really fresh in their minds to the memory of everybody that heard. Okay, so they understood the prophets, right? And so, the first day of this festival, at the end of the first day of the feast, they'd done this ceremony. Now you have to study this. For time's sake, I don't have time to get into, but it's extravagant. We would say, wow, what they done. And so, and then they would light all the lights. And you have to study it, how they went about to do this. And then they lit everything up. They lit all these oil, like chandeliers. They just lit them all up at once. And so everything there was lit up. Just illuminated. The whole thing was illuminated. And that was a ceremony. Ceremony of light. Now remember that the temple was on a hill above all the city. And so all the city was this glorious, all the city could see this glorious light when just whew, turned on. Just like we throw the switch and the lights come on. And so the whole city understood this. So in addition to the light, now the Levitical musicians, they played with harps, with lyres, with cymbals and trumpets, and they just praised the Lord. What a celebration. The light was to remind the people of how God's Shekinah glory had once filled the temple. But in the person of Jesus, God's glory was once again present in that temple. And he used the celebration to announce that fact. In John 8:12, he said, and as you study this, it will talk about Jesus in the day of the great feast. It was called the great feast. In John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light, of life. Jesus said, hey, you see this? You know, it was like a parable. He said, you see how everything's lit up. He said, that's speaking of me. I am. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Glory to God. I want to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Even back then, many refused to have their darkness exposed by that light. But there were others that were drawn to the light, drawn to Yeshua. And they just burned. Their hearts just burned for the truth of Yeshua. And the light of Yeshua is still shining brightly today. Glory to God. That was the first symbol. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. It was like, when during this celebration, that was like the grand finale. When everything lit up. And it seemed like the whole world was illuminated. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Glory to God. The second symbol Jesus used was water. Now this was on the last day. The light was the first day. The water was the last day. There is what was known as the water drawing ceremony. And it still is. When they do these festivals, this is what they do. The ceremony was to thank God for his bounty and to ask him to provide rain for the crops in the coming years. One of the ancient rabbis wrote this: anyone who has not seen this water ceremony has never seen rejoicing in his life. Now that sounds like fun to me. When those rabbis would say, if you haven't seen this, you haven't experienced joy. So the people, they was very aware of their dependence on rain for the crops, you know, and for all the preservation of life. No wonder the prophets came to see rain as a symbol of salvation and the work of God's Holy Spirit. Ezekiel 36:25. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. How many experienced when you got saved that awesome sense of cleanness? Nobody experienced that? Well, I did. It was awesome. It's just, you just felt so clean. After all, look at all the junk that was washed away. All the sins washed away. All the junk washed away. Who wouldn't feel clean? Glory to God. I remember And God speaks to everybody different. God deals with everybody different. God, you know, blesses everybody different, whatever. But I remember that at that time, even in the natural, I just wanted to be so clean. Not that I was, you know, wallowing with the hogs or anything before that, but it was like, it was like Spirit of God just, you know, saying that that's what God wants us to be. It's so clean. You know, and even to this day, you know, I'll take a shower once, twice, three times a day, whatever, you know. I just want to be clean. Hallelujah. And some things, you know, you think, well, that's the, I was the only one that God dealt with me like that. But one of the other things, and I heard this on, I'm not sure whether it was a testimony, whether it was a teaching, whatever. But this guy said, when he got saved, immediately, he said that he had to ask his wife to marry him. Even though he'd been married for years. But see, when you're not walking with God, and you've, I don't know about anybody else, but you know, basically doing everything to destroy marriage. And so it's like, man, we need to get married. I know that was one of the things that God just poured into me. He said, you need to get married. Didn't realize what marriage was when got married, you know? And so, of course, I'm a new Christian. So I just do these things. So I said to Luis, I said, hey. I said, and you know, I don't have the way with words, you know? And so I just said, hey, we got to get married. We're already married. See, don't understand how God really impresses people. But I heard this other guy say the same thing. I said, wow, you too. So glory to God. Hallelujah. So God, you know, God does awesome things when we get saved. Hallelujah. So, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. No wonder when Jesus stood in a temple on this great day of the feast and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, or some translations say heart, will flow rivers of living water. Now think about it. On the first day of the feast, end of the first day, in the light ceremony, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. On the last day of the feast, he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. I think it's pretty awesome how it all comes together. So, as the rain falls to nourish the crops, so the Ruah HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, falls on those that have identified with Christ in his death and his resurrection. It's that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that refreshes us and causes us to grow in grace and in faith. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to experience Emmanuel, God with us. That same Holy Spirit is available to us today. Yeshua promised to give Me'im She'im, Hebrew for living water. And so that brought a lot of debate and discussion. What is this all about? So, in just a few days, or, well, the Jewish people have been doing these celebrations, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, now Sukkot. So, as they celebrate, and they celebrate these feasts, so as they celebrate, we need to be praying that they'll come to know the one that the festivals are speaking about. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Pray that the living water, the living Messiah, Jesus, will quench their thirst and will fill them with the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. This is a time. If you're praying for the Jewish people, pray. We know that they are coming into the kingdom, just like other people are coming into the kingdom. Hallelujah. So pray. So I believe when we cease to celebrate, we very quickly lose the foundation on which we stand. When we cease to celebrate the goodness of God, we will soon forget the good things that He's done for us. And the awe of God will just be faded memories, soon forgotten. We need to celebrate. Hallelujah. So today, as we celebrate, as we rejoice, remember, it's more than just a man thing. It's a God. Glory to God. Amazing.